Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Steelers Outpost Podcast, a proud member of the Armchair All-Americans Network. It is August 4th, 2019. This is Tom in the D.C. Outpost, and Nick joins me as usual from the Houston Outpost. We are into day 9 of training camp. Do I have my counting correctly?
Something like that. I think you got your counting correctly. Either way, almost two work weeks in for training camp. They've already gotten past the Friday night lights portion of training camp. We're starting to see some of these one-on-one battles develop. There are some storylines developing for sure at a training camp now as we inch our way closer towards the first preseason game.
Yeah, and you know what? It's just fantasy land, isn't it? It's sort of like going to Disney because there's all these storylines really won't amount to much until we actually start playing real games. Case in point, Ola Adeniye exploding this year after, having the injury bug last year, but blowing guys off the line and seemingly moving himself up the ladder for edge rusher.
Yeah, so Ola is one of the interesting training camp storylines. Every year, the fans will kind of latch on to an unknown guy, a low round drafted guy or an undrafted guy who is turning heads at training camp. I mean, obviously some of the Steelers' best players of all time were those type of players. Antonio Brown, James Harrison was like that. Ramon Foster, he had kind of a slower ascent, obviously so did Harrison, but Ola had a really good first year last year. Just looking at pictures of him, by the way, he wears that number 92. That James Harrison wears, and he wore it last year. Again, almost another part of that saga of the Steelers kind of clumsily handling his exit, giving away his number immediately. But I remember seeing him in that 92 jersey last year and thinking, why did they let a child play on the Steelers and play outside rusher? Because when you see 92, you're used to seeing a full-grown adult male silverback gorilla inside of that uniform. And I just thought that Ola looked a little small last year, but he was turning heads because he's a good, ferocious pass rusher. This year, he definitely looks bigger to me. I don't know if the weight has gotten up, but it looks like he's taken that familiar year one to year two maturing as far as the body goes, kind of path. So when the camp first started, he's turning heads. Also reminds me, by the way, the most recent guy to do this was Eli Rogers, who really turned a lot of heads in his first year, and then he got injured and missed the whole year and came back really strong the second year. So that's kind of where Ola's at. First couple of days of camp, according to the reports, he was dominating, absolutely dominating the second team tackles. He was running with the second team. And then this week, he started to get a play up with the big boys a little bit more. And it sounds like Filer was handling him pretty well. And it's been a little bit of an adjustment for Ola to go against the first team guys. And I just want to tell everybody out there, like, hey, that's to be expected. This is a small sample size. I hope that Filer can handle this guy because we're going to want Filer to handle Carl Lawson on the Bengals. And it's going to be a lot harder than the guy who hasn't played. So that's good to hear. But you got to hold your horses when it comes to the hype about some of these up and coming players. And I don't say that to diminish what Ola's doing. I just looking at the process here.
You know, going back to the number, and I know he's not a millionaire yet, but when you think about the NFL and the angst over your jersey number, it's just funny. Do you think Ola just walked in innocently and said, "Hey, yeah, is anybody using that?"
I don't think so. I don't remember he was in college.
And there was not a thought given to the implications. Not that it had a, you know, it wasn't earth shattering, but you're right. I mean, can we let the body cool down a little bit before we start giving the number and igniting yet another controversy, which didn't come. I mean, it's fine. But I was really
Well, in another way, it's like a Steelers tradition, too. The number 92 is Jason Gildon. So I don't mind giving it to Ola, but you're right. Let the body cool down first.
Well, there is an interesting story. I don't want to get excited too quickly, obviously. But in the secondary, Cameron Kelly, you know, Sean Davis has had a finger injury, and it has opened the door for this guy. So Cameron Kelly came from the AAF, where he had been switched to wide receiver. I mean, there are a lot of stories about him lately, really focused on his hands, his ability to catch the ball, just strong hands, and has great technique. So he was a DB, played three DB positions out of San Diego State, cut by the Houston, right, or Dallas, then ended up in the AAF. So he's really taken advantage of the open door.
Yeah, he has. So when I think about that, I just cannot wait to see this guy in the preseason. Because when I hear the guy was playing wide receiver recently, he gets cut and goes to the AAF. Oh, that's okay. Some people do slide through the cracks. I mean, hey, the Steelers got Tommy Maddox from the XFL, and it was an upgrade over some of the stuff they had before. No offense to my original favorite player, Cordell Stewart. But when I hear these things about Cameron Kelly, wide receiver, he catches well, it just makes me nervous because it was baffling that the Steelers did not draft a safety this year in the draft and that they're going into this season really with only like two guys. They got the starters. They got Edmonds and they got Sean Davis, of course. I think Dangerfield is sort of lingering around still, but we've seen enough of Dangerfield on defense to realize he cannot go in the game and play defense. He is an incredible special teams player. Actually, he can do all right on the defensive side of the ball from a run-stopping standpoint. He can really lay the wood, but he's a liability in pass coverage. And so now we're going with this guy who's a converted wide receiver to play safety instead of, you know, drafting someone or picking someone up in free agency who's actually played the position and who's had experience at the position. And that's critical for safety because you are in a lot of ways, the quarterback of the secondary. And your mind has to be able to distinguish what you're seeing. You have to have experience or you have to have elite level athleticism to be able to cover sideline to sideline. And so I get a little nervous when we're taking converted guys. Obviously, Brian Allen, the cornerback, is another guy like that. So you can see the Steelers are really, really being vocal about the need to catch the interceptions that they've dropped last year, leading the league. Such an issue getting interceptions. So I get where they're coming from, trying to find athletes who can catch the ball, but I just need to make sure they're in the right place to catch the ball in the first place.
Let me clarify what I was saying. At San Diego State, the three positions he played were slot corner, boundary corner, and free safety. He didn't play wide receiver in college. He had 9 interceptions and 15 pass deflections. So he moves on to Dallas. He's a local Texas guy. Dallas cuts him, and then he goes to AAF, where they converted him to wide receiver. So he played part of, you know, not even a season in AAF as wide receiver. What did they play, 1 game, 2 games?
Sure, yeah. Okay.
So his training is a DB, so that's positive. It is interesting, though, that he got the nod in front of Jordan Dangerfield when Sean Davis went down.
Well, honestly, actually, when you put it like that, he played corner. He played all positions in the secondary in college, and then he goes to the AAF. Yeah. Usually when we talk about secondary members, you cannot put them at receiver. I mean, like even Devin Hester and Deion Sanders, two of the greatest NFL players, greatest athletes ever, only could have a limited amount of success at receiver. And usually, you know, you got the Ike Taylor syndrome. They can't catch. That's why they're playing defense, or they can't catch consistently. So that's almost a nod to how good his ball skills are for the AAF coaches to put him at wide receiver. But I mean, I think just at the end of the day, this circles back to one thing. The Steelers coaches are very aware of the need to get interceptions and turnovers in the secondary. I think Kevin Colbert, I don't know if it was Colbert, Tomlin, I think it was Tomlin, but one of the coaches said this past week that the performance in the secondary did not match the performance of the front seven. They said the front seven was one of the better front sevens in the league. They got a ton of pressure. Obviously, they've been at the very top of the league in terms of sacks over the past 2 years. And so they pointed that out, like, hey, the front seven was doing their job. When you see these numbers from your front seven, usually that correlates to having interceptions in the back end. Yet we did not have those interceptions. So we need to find people who can get them. So I see where they're coming from there. They've been trying for years. When they drafted Senquist Golson, that was the reason why they drafted him, Gerard Holloman. They've been trying to get these interceptions for years. Hopefully we'll see an uptick in that.
Well, can I rewind back to Adeniyi and sure. Basically the edge rusher, the news that Anthony Chiclo just had four bone spurs removed from his foot, and they were described as the size of shrimp. So this guy signed a two-year, $8 million extension this year, and we were all scratching our heads about that, wondering what they saw. But I wonder how much of his game was inhibited by, bone spurs on your foot?
Well, I think
and apparently this is a lifelong problem, or at least a problem from college where he developed them. And every time he rolls his ankle, which apparently you do once a game, it exacerbates the problem. So I'm just interested to see if he's able to increase his intensity or, his effectiveness.
It's just about consistency for him. He's never going to be a guy who's going to like all of a sudden become a starting pass rusher. That's just he just doesn't have it. He doesn't have that level of talent or athleticism, but he is a fantastic special teams player and a guy who I feel great about as a depth player. Like this is why the Steelers are exciting this year, because they, well, at least at a lot of positions, have some depth. I think in order to win the Super Bowl, you look at the Patriots model, of course, taking out the fact that they have the greatest coach of all time, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. They have depth. They manipulate their salary cap so that they don't overpay guys. Obviously, there's an exception for New England because their superstars like Gronk and Brady take less money than they would take comparatively on another team. But at the end of the day, part of why they've done so well is when one guy goes down, they have someone to fill in their roster. And that's where their money gets spread out. And they have depth. Chiclo is a guy who I feel great about if he has to start one or two games, if Bud or TJ misses a game here or there. It's not like I'm trying to remember a recent incident of where, the Steelers have had to – well, all the times they went to the playoffs and had to sign random running backs like Ben Tate, or when Fitzgerald Toussaint fumbled against the Broncos. He was the fourth-string running back at the time. He was a practice squad guy, right? So that's what I like about Chiclo. I agree he could be more effective. He's not going to become James Harrison or anything like that, but it's exciting to have a dude who has been on the team. He understands the defense. He has a ton of energy. If you see any of the videos, he's one of the most active – kind of funny hype guys on rabid. The Steelers team. So he brings a lot. Yeah, he's rabid. He's a crazy boy. You need that. He's obviously a crazy boy. He's got shrimp in his feet and he's still out there playing NFL football. But that's good to hear. They're hopefully treating this stuff, but it's exciting to have some depth there. There are a couple positions where you got to worry. Tight end and safety are the big ones, obviously. And then still big question mark at kicker. But otherwise, the Steelers got plenty of receivers. They got running backs. They've got offensive linemen. They have edge rushers this year. It's a good place to be. Corners, too.
Speaking of running backs, what was a really interesting matchup, and that's all we've been hearing about for the last 2 weeks, is Benny Snell against Devin Bush in backs on backers. And I guess Tomlin's been just picking them out. One bone, two dogs, one bone.
It's a classic tried and true football strategy. And you hear about this a lot, especially with young players, especially with rookies. So you have the star sort of savior rookie draft pick, a lot of pressure on Devin Bush to man that inside linebacker position for the Steelers. Then you get Benny Snell, sort of a mid-round running back, a mid-round pick, a running back who's super tough and obviously incredibly eager to prove himself. He's been very vocal about that. So he's matched those guys up every day, making them go one-on-one in backs and backers. There's a great clip of Devin Bush absolutely trucking Benny Snell on one of these reps, put him on his back and got to the quarterback easily. On the next rep, Benny Snell held him away from the quarterback. He did a good job. So they are having a great back and forth. I don't know how chippy it's gotten so far. I predict it will get chippy. I think football coaches do this on purpose. They want to make you almost go insane having to go against the same guy all the time. See if you can get those tempers to flare up a little bit. And it, can you come back down to earth at that point or whatever? I actually remember when I was in high school, I ended up also playing cornerback my senior year. And we had a really good wide receivers and defensive backs coach named Bryce Moss, Randy Moss's cousin, right? It's crazy. He was an awesome player at our high school, and he played college football at Syracuse. And this dude, I mean, he got screwed with quarterbacks in that era of Syracuse football. But I remember used to be throwing to him after practice just for fun or during practice, and this guy had NFL receiver written all over him. He could jump 14 feet in the air. It was outrageous. But he made me when I was going through this transition to start to play more cornerback, he made me go against my buddy, Matt McLaughlin, the Irish corner. This dude could squat, you know, three times his body weight. He was the main cornerback on the team, just a total spark plug, athletic beast. And we went against each other for 4 weeks straight. Didn't allow us to go against any other players, just me and Matt hitting each other helmet to helmet before the CTE studies came out. Over and over and over again. It was an iron sharpening iron situation. And honestly, by the end of it, we just, you're just ready for anything. Because I don't know, something about it, there's something mental. He's a very good player. I found, you know, I didn't do so poorly myself either. And it just kind of raises this level of competition. And I see, I definitely got concussed from those things. Let's be honest. It looks like Bush and Snell might be able to avoid some of that. But it's an interesting way to breed competition on a team, on your own team. And you need that. You need guys wanting to be the best in order to keep improving. So I like seeing what they're doing. Bush and Snell are both standing out. It really does sound like Devin Bush is starting to make a name for himself. It seems like every time we read a recap on the team periods, Devin Bush has a pass breakup. Like every day, he's starting to get there. So that's really exciting. Again, we're still really early. Can't wait to see the preseason games. Do you remember Ryan Shazier's first preseason game? Because I do. You don't?
No.
It was against Buffalo. I think he had like, I mean, I know he had an interception. An incredible. He had like 17 tackles and an interception where he high-pointed the ball and jumped and grabbed it out of the middle of the field. That's a lot of pressure for Devin Bush to stand up to that, but that was incredibly exciting when Shazier did that for the fan base and you realize, oh, this guy's going to be a superstar. So I can't wait to see Bush in a real game, but apparently he's been heating up already just 9 days into practice.
Just a level set between you and me. If your middle name wasn't the same as my middle name, I wouldn't remember that either. So let's not be asking me about memory questions. Interesting. Pointing out the one-on-one, we moved from the rookies to the seniors, and there was a little one-on-one skirmish between Alejandro Villanueva and Cam Hayward this week. Over one of their favorite Netflix shows.
I think that was a joke, but
yeah, I agree with you for different reasons, but I would not have put these two. But I guess they have hit each other 3,000 times in training camps up till now.
Yeah, so you see this happen on teams. Like I said, you sort of drive each other crazy by having to hit the same damn guy every single week. You get really excited to go hit somebody in a different uniform after a while. But Hayward and Villanueva are like the two mature elder statesmen. Reserved isn't the word for them. Like, I don't know, stately? They're both like, they're very together. They're very intense on the field. It's not, they're not meek by any means, but they're just in control of their emotions. I could see it, you know, Marquise Pouncey, he's a guy, he's mature. He knows what he's doing, but he's got an edge to him. And he starts crap with people kind of on purpose to give the Steelers an edge. So I could see him getting in a skirmish, but I find it hilarious that those two guys, Villanueva and Hayward, got in a fight. Villanueva did say that the fight was over the two players' opposing views of the Game of Thrones finale. I don't know how you can have opposing views. They ruined that last season of the show. But either way, it's funny to see them be able to joke about it so quickly. And I take it as a positive, because when you see two captains, essentially, I know Villanueva isn't technically a captain, but he more or less is. He fought for America and has played well on the Steelers thus so far. When you see those guys getting in a dust up, it just, I don't know. I think that it shows that they care and that there's an intensity there. And You might lack that on some teams like the Steelers, who have had these guys have been there forever. You could see how this could become routine at a certain point for them. But no, it seems like they care even more than ever. And I like to see that intensity, and I want to see that level of competition at camp, because you see, obviously, these two guys can turn it off once they get off the field. It's not like tearing the team apart or anything.
How much do you want to bet these guys set this up before practice?
Oh, the fix is in. I don't know if I bet on that, but if I did, I bet on my bookie. It's hard to believe, but football is almost back. The NFL preseason kicks off with the Hall of Fame game. It actually already did that. Anything Burgundy sees on that prompter, he will read. My bookie. I guess that's my curse. Anyways, it's time to make an account at the best online sports book known to man. That's right. I'm talking about my bookie. Sports betting is exploding in popularity. If you want to get in on the action with a trusted company that's been in business for years, MyBookie is the place for you. With an easy, no-hassle mobile site, 24/7 customer service, and bets on every sport and prop imaginable, MyBookie provides a fun, safe betting experience. Maybe you think that Drew Brees and the Saints will get their revenge for that terrible blown call. Nobody cares. Maybe you think that Tom Brady. Nobody cares. Maybe you want to bet on the Steelmen winning the Super Bowl. Well, you can do it at MyBookie. And if you deposit now, MyBookie will give you a 50% deposit bonus. 50. That's right. You put in $100, they'll give you $50. You put in $1,000, they'll give you $500. It's that easy. Football weekends are the best. But they're even more thrilling when every touchdown can win you more money. So go to mybookie.ag and sign up today with promo code OUTPOST25. At MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid.
Speaking of veterans, you notice how many guys are sitting out and for how many days they're sitting out the training camp practices. Was it
right
2 years ago where Ben actually had a scheduled vacation in the middle of training camp? Went to Bermuda for a few days just to...
It wasn't training camp. It was OTAs, I think.
But he's, you know what? I was listening to Kazura, maybe Tony Serino, this morning as I'm walking the dog. And he was talking about Josh Dobbs throwing over somebody's head, and Ben walked out and spent, you know, I think reset the play and is giving Dobbs a lot of advice. I mean, which is sort of counter to what we've heard in the past, especially when Mason Rudolph first came to the team. So those rumors belie the actual events and how Ben's trying to support the
right
understudies.
The new quarterbacks. The understudies, nice. I think, yeah, I mean, here it is. I feel like there's two camps of people. There's the camps of, there's the national media, which almost entirely is just out to trash Ben. That's a fact. I know there might be other fan bases who say that about their quarterback. No, it's clearly not as close with any other quarterback as Ben Roethlisberger. And there's other reasons for that. Like we always say, you know, early career controversies and stuff like that. But people have made up their mind on him. So there's one camp of people who try to nitpick everything Ben does and try and call him a bad leader. And then you see other people do the exact same thing that Ben does, and they don't get called a bad leader. And then there's other people in Pittsburgh that see a story like this where he helps Josh Dobbs out. And then they try to spin Ben's actually a great leader and all of this is propaganda. We both know that it's somewhere in between, right? I mean, he does have moments where you're just kind of baffled on just things that he says that not only are reflect sort of maybe questionable leadership, but it's also just strategically for your own brand, you're making it difficult on yourself, man. I mean, just still to this day, the fact that he even suggested that Antonio Brown should have ran his route flatter on the 1 yard line when he threw that interception, that honestly, the Broncos got lucky. They called the right coverage, the nose tackle backed up. He bent through it right to the guy. He caught it. There's no way in the world AB could have ran his route flat enough to get there before the nose tackle got it. So that's one of those things where it's just this awareness that's like, Ben, why don't you just say, I can't believe I threw that pick. You know, that sucked. You don't need to bring AB's name into there. That's, and then conversely, AB, you don't need to cry your way out of Pittsburgh just because you said that one thing, right? But clearly, Ben, you know, he's out there helping teammates, and he was helping Josh Dobbs the other day, and that's cool because he knows that Josh Dobbs has a 0% chance of supplanting him as a starter at any point in his life because Josh Dobbs throws two interceptions a day even when you're in training camp.
But I guess going back to the original point that we are resting the veterans, and I think you and I had this offline conversation about many of these guys have been together for over 5 years, especially right. offensive line. Ben, clearly.
Yes. Yeah, the nucleus there. I mean, I guess Ben like kind of has like a 2 days on, 1 day off type of scenario. And Foster and Pouncey are in a similar area. And yeah, you see a lot of these veterans get a lot of days off. Obviously, TJ Watt, we don't know the extent of his injury. I mean, he still hasn't really played, I don't think.
Yeah.
So maybe we should be a little bit more alarmed about that. Maybe it's not as
– I know. It was, to keep it what was it, a, sure. a hamstring? Yeah, hamstring. I think he had a hamstring in the first one of the first – Jeez, of course you do. Yes, of course you do. But the question is, well.
The minute he got to training camp, right?
Yeah, what's striking to me is when you hear about the drills and you hear about Dobbs and Rudolph, just so inconsistent. They never said anything about Ben. They never say anything about Ben having a poor practice. I don't – probably because he isn't, and he's like, how much more practice do I need? There's only so much in the tank. I have to preserve it.
Yeah. It's and I 100% agree with that. I love that they give these guys – Hayward's another one who they give days off to because, look, we've seen the Steelers seasons get tanked before when they lose Marquise Pouncey or Sean Swisham at the very beginning of the year, and then it causes huge problems. And I think that you're lucky with the Steelers that there's guys who have played a long time and played a long time together, you know, with the exception of Joe Hayden, but Joe Hayden's a pro's pro. And so I don't think that they need quite as many reps as Devin Bush obviously would need, or maybe even, you know, Sean Davis or guys who have been on the team before, but they need to get their units to gel a little bit more. The Steelers are lucky where they've had this nucleus together. So be careful with the health, right? It's a longevity deal with these guys. So I like that they're holding them out. Also at that Friday night lights practice, they had other guys like Juju and DeCastro, some other star players who were in uniform, in pads, ready to practice, but they held them out because the field was wet and the conditions were a little bit risky. I love that move. If Juju and DeCastro miss one practice, that makes a 0.0 difference on how the year is going to go. But you are putting them at a higher risk for injury if they do play. I mean, look at AJ Green got injured. He's out for at least 8 weeks for the Bengals because they played on a crappy field made out of rocks in Dayton, Ohio, because the NFL wanted them to play in Dayton because Dayton originally had an NFL team, and it's the 100th NFL season this year, and say, oh, it'd be great if you played in Dayton. Well, you played on a field where the conditions weren't ideal, and now the Bengals season's kind of screwed, in my opinion. I know they'll be too far behind the eight ball. So anyways, all I'm trying to say is you see a lot of reports about Steelers players taking days off here or there, and it can be a little disappointing when you're looking for some action. You want to hear how are Ben and Juju doing? How's Bush doing against James Conner in one-on-ones? And then you see that, oh, they weren't playing. But I 100% agree with the tactic. The Steelers do hit hard. They're one of the more physical teams in training camp and practice. So you get that element when they do play, and then they're being careful and learning from the past in terms of making sure that there's some longevity for the health and the bodies of these old geezers who the Steelers have leading the team.
We got some new information this week regarding an interview that Mike Tomlin did with, is it Jeremy Fowler?
Yes, Jeremy Fowler from ESPN. We talked about that interview a week or two ago, but Jeremy Fowler put out a tweet with some extra footage from the interview that wasn't released originally.
So, I mean, there's a question, and he had this interview. Tomlin was on with Stephen A. and a panel, and he was also asked, what do you think about who's going to have a more difficult time with Odell Beckham Jr., the Steelers or the Browns? And, you know, they had this sort of play confrontation. The question being is, Odell going to be a problem in the locker room? But I think I like what Mike said. He said, you know, it's not like there's tons of talent out there. He's not the only guy we face it every week. But then there was a little something extra in the tweet.
Yeah, he didn't just say that we play great guys every week. He did a fake yawn to Jeremy in the middle of Jeremy asking like, how are you guys going to deal with Odell Beckham Jr.? Are you scared? And he yawns. It's a fake yawn in the middle, basically saying like, listen, we've played a lot of great players over the years and we've had to deal with them. And this is part of our job. I was like, man, we might have undersold how controversial that ESPN interview was the other day. And I know some of you might be at home listening to the podcast, tearing your hair out, saying that, like, oh, maybe we're part of the problem, saying that's controversial. It's not controversial. These are this isn't crazy stuff. This is the NFL making a bigger deal out of what people say in the offseason. But guess what, guys? We're not crazy, because these things do end up on ESPN, especially when it comes to Roethlisberger, or, you know, back at when they have Brown. Like, these things are stories whether we like them or not. So I'm almost surprised that this didn't get brought up a little bit more over the weekend. But I'll say this. Mike Tomlin has been a little bit more brash than usual in this preseason. This isn't the first or second comment he's had like this. He's had a couple. And of course, now that I'm on the spot, I'm having trouble drawing up some of the recent quotes he's had. Damn.
Well, he said they were asking about, I don't know, this was in the last 2 weeks, I think, they were on ESPN, they were asking about Randy Feitner, and they said, well, Feitner, you know, is, new to the coordinator spot, and Mike goes, he's been here for a dozen years, he's been the wide receiver coach, quarterback coach, he hasn't been delivering pizza. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, he's a quilt machine. We talked about that the other week, too. And hey, I will say this. He's right. The Steelers have had to deal with some big weapons before. But really, they haven't dealt with anything like an elite quarterback and maybe the most talented wide receiver of all time before. We've had to deal with A.J. Green for years. So that's a big-time NFL receiver. But he had Andy Dalton throwing to him. This is something that the Steelers have never seen before. This is what the Steelers have done to the rest of the AFC North for a long time, with Ben throwing to AB and even Ben throwing to Wallace or Hines Ward to a lesser extent before that. We've never had to deal with an elite quarterback throwing to an elite receiver. So I don't think it's much to yawn about, but I do like the response, and he's right. I mean, this is football. It doesn't matter. Steelers didn't win a single Super Bowl with that combination. So that doesn't mean that you can't crown the Browns right away, but it's going to be hard.
I guess the point is, we complain about boring interviews, and then we complain and point out, like, he can't give away the game plan, but that was pretty good. He does have a sense of humor, and especially with the turn of a phrase,
yeah, it
makes
amazing.
It more interesting. I just wish I could hear the whole interview. Rewinding back to Ben, he had a comment with, where did you pick that up?
I don't remember who interviewed him. I just seen it all over Twitter. I can find it if you guys want, but it's another example of my favorite player putting his foot in his mouth again. He tries to send these, like, sort of subtle, passive aggressive comments through the media as if he's sort of gaming the system. But really what happens is, it's like, I'm telling you, Ben, ESPN is looking for a reason to drag you. They cannot wait. So this is not going to work out the way you think it's going to work out. He said in an interview, and maybe we should find that to credit the person. I don't know if you can find it, Deb, but he said in an interview that he went home and the other day, and his wife asked him how practice went. And he said, you know what? I think that I feel like I love football again. I feel like I'm falling in love with football again. There's just something different about this year. And then my wife smiled, and she said that made her really happy. Like, what is the reason for that, dude? Like, on two fronts, that's a weird move, because one, it seems like a pretty clear indication that, why would you love it this year? What's different about this year? You have the identical team. You're getting the identical place. You're back in St. Vincent. What's one thing that's missing? Oh, right. Antonio Brown's gone and Le'Veon Bell's gone. And I guess, you know, Antonio Brown, you know, I don't know what was going on behind the scenes at training camp time last year. The drama hadn't really popped up yet. There were signs with the weird interviews AB was giving, so who knows what he was like in the locker room. But obviously the media circus around will he, won't he show up for Le'Veon Bell was going around. But I don't know what you want to say. It just seems like a passive aggressive shot trying to say that, like, oh well, the problems are gone, so now I feel great. And like I said, you know, Ben's my favorite player, especially now that AB's gone. But I got a call, like, I see it with him and say, hey, man, you have had a lot to do with those issues as well. So don't pretend like everything's fine. It almost scares me a little bit, like he hasn't learned his lesson as much as maybe we think he should, in terms of just, you know, being accountable and stuff like that. And then secondly, people give him crap for the retirement talk, which only happened one time, by the way. And it was a passive aggressive move that, by the way, worked really well. Todd Haley did need to get out. The offense did improve. They became the best red zone offense in the last 10 years, 15 years or whatever it was. And Todd Haley immediately gets fired from Cleveland. And when he gets fired from Cleveland, their offense takes off. So yes, Todd Haley had to go. Plus, nobody can get along with him anywhere. So cut him some slack there. But people give Ben more crap than he deserves for the retirement thing. They say like, oh, it's like Brett Favre. Every year they're wondering if Ben comes back or not. That happened one time. The very next year, right when the Steelers lost to the Jaguars in the playoffs to end their season, first thing Ben did is interviewed in the locker room, said, I'm coming back next year. And then this year, same thing. Well, it looks like the Lions coming back. I'm coming back. There's no wiffle waffing with retirement. Okay. So, but when you make a comment like this, it sort of could get lumped into that. Like, I love football again. Okay. I'm re-energized. I do want to play. Sounds sort of far, man. It just seems unnecessary to me.
I'm reading less into this and taking it for face value. This was an interview with Mike Prosciutto at Steelers.com. Nice. And he said, I don't know. I just know that I'm loving football. I'm really enjoying being out there and having fun doing it. And then followed up with, if there's an issue with anything at practice or whatever, let's just talk and get it out there, because then you can move on quicker and you can actually amend things and become closer by doing that. I do feel like even if you consider the Le'Veon did not play last year, it still was a major distraction and it didn't feel like everybody was all in. And it just seems like everything we've heard so far from people coming, everybody coming to OTAs, except for the
DeCastro, the father.
Sorry, DeCastro with the baby excuse. Everybody shows up to OTAs. This is a. You know, all the stories out of training camp, seems like everybody's all in. I could see why he'd say something like that without targeting anybody in particular.
Well, I like the way you put that. That makes a lot of sense. And actually, I didn't remember the second part of that quote, like what you were just saying about people being on the same page and the fact that basically he said, if there's any issues, we try to tackle them right away instead of letting them grow and fester. And that actually goes directly against what I was saying. That really is learning from your mistakes, because like I said, I mean, at the end of the day, Antonio Brown leaving out of Pittsburgh, there are multiple people at fault with that, but that is 90% Antonio Brown being overly sensitive or overly self-involved, right? But Ben could learn maybe from some of that experience. Maybe he could have addressed some of these issues a little bit more head on or something like that. So I like hearing that full quote. Now, I know that the part of the quote that gets circulated was the one that I referred to, that I just love football again. And that's what gets picked up on PFT or wherever else. And they'll cut off the end of the quote, as media is want to do. Is that the proper use of that word? As media is want to do? Yeah, well, anyways, but that is encouraging. That does sound like he's not only learned a little bit from last year, but there's a reason why he's saying that in public, the whole thing about dealing with issues as they pop up, because he's demonstrating, hey, I get it. Yeah, I need to improve a little bit on that. So that's encouraging.
So the story that we alluded to earlier is the quarterback competition. Right. And there are actually three guys, and I know the third guy isn't going to hang, but He's put some good tape together.
Bucky Hodges. Just choose him. He's got the best name. I mean, come on. Bubby Brister, we had him for a little while. And then you could have Bucky Hodges as the backup. Sign me up. No, okay, so nobody's playing well. That's what's happening with these backup quarterbacks. I guess Hodges had a few days where he was kind of the number one guy, and then he crashed, which was unbelievably disappointed. If that's the number one guy, when you use draft picks, relatively high draft picks, to acquire Rudolph and Dobbs, and Hodges was out playing them, then he crashed back down to earth like a guy named Bucky Hodges would. Rudolph has been generally probably the best guy so far. I would hope that would be the case. I'm disappointed that he isn't head and shoulders the best guy. The Steelers claiming that they had a first round guy grade on him when they drafted him, which worries the living hell out of me, because if you're the only team in the league that had that first round grade on him, he got passed up over and over again. It's looking like, I don't know, I'm not going to put out any judgment of his playing career just yet. We're still a couple days into his second training camp, but if you really thought he was a first rounder, he should have separated himself from this pack. The only thing that stands in common is that Josh Dobbs has never been the best guy, and he throws interceptions left and right. And I don't know. Maybe I think I'm too hard on him on this podcast in terms of the the fervor in which I speak of my frustration with him, but I don't think my opinion of him is incorrect. This guy is not a guy I can trust for any stretch of time playing backup quarterback for the Steelers, but you really want to see Mason Rudolph edge his way to the front of the pack, hopefully over the course of the preseason. So let's keep our eye on it. It is still early.
So cancel your Friday evening. We're finally going to watch some football, some real football. The Steelers take on the Buccaneers at home this Friday, 7:30 Eastern. So I am already getting prepared with multiple screens, stocking the refrigerator, making sure there's ink in the pen.
Can't wait. Should be good to get a look at some of these guys on the field.
It's not a real problem for me since Fridays are non-existent for me after 7 o'clock at this age, so this will be fine for me. You know, you might have a little more of a problem.
Yeah, Friday nights have changed for me. Yeah, a little bit more, but not quite as much as a few years ago. Because, you know, we have priorities now. I mean, the people need the pen, and we got the pen in hand. Is there anybody in specific that you are really excited about seeing besides the obvious? Obviously, we all want to see Devin Bush. But, to your credit, you've kept me on the Cameron Kelly stories. I'm definitely interested in seeing how he does.
I can't pick anybody up. I mean, we're excited to see everything, right? I mean, and we know this will devolve into a boring AAF
unwatchable game.
But I expect to see some flashes from the guys who don't belong out there. And what I'm saying is Bush, right? I mean, he has to play, of course, but he should be a man among boys out there, and that's one thing we'll be looking for. And not definitely looking at quarterbacks, just for grins to see how that shakes out.
I'll say this. I want to see Chris Boswell in a game day uniform kicking on television. I know there's no pressure in this game, but to him, I mean, it was a disaster where he left off of. Although, hey, he did beat the Patriots on a game winning kick. That's a nice little way to end through the season there. But I like to see him, you know, in the full black and gold game day uniform going through your game day routine, kicking under the lights on television at Heinz Field. Maybe he can start gaining some of that confidence back in the preseason.
So we're looking forward to that. We'll have something to talk about next week, as we always do. Check us out on Instagram at Steelers Outpost. Hit us up on Twitter at Steelers Outpost. Follow Nick. And leave us a note on the website, SteelersOutpost.com, or shoot us an email at SteelersOutpost@gmail.com. Until next week, thanks for listening. Go Steelers.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.